You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hey, where did we go?
9:14 on a Monday. Mike McNamara with you. Joining me is Michael Musselman, the gunner, who's working on Ralph's router, and explain to us the problem with the router.
Can't get the password. So I just reset it to the factory reset protocol. Remember the computer you like to use that word, protocol?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm doing. No, with the protocol. We were, so Ralph had about, 200 pounds? 300 pounds of game meat and freezers out in the garage. And when we had a storm come through not so long ago and knocked out the power for a while, well, the freezers on the, they went, bad on us. So then all the meat, thawed and then it refroze and then it went thawed and refroze again. So cleaned it all out, threw all the meat out. So, and then I brought the power washer to Ralph's house and went power washing crazy on the front.
Did you? So wait. So now what are you doing? So what are you doing with the router?
Well, we can't get the password. The password doesn't work.
Oh. Wait a minute.
So Netgear tells you to go and reset it.
You mean the computer router for the network?
Yeah.
I thought you were doing using a router out in the garage. And I'm thinking, what kind of router's got a password on it, man? Ralph must have some expensive ass tools that he's got a password protected router. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, he's got password protected tools. You're a tool, man.
I think you're going to be doing work on a computer network. Hello, like Dumb and Dumber do computer stuff. Nice. How did he? What happened to his password, man? What's up with that? His router reset and all that nonsense. Good for him.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about. Well, first of all, today's October 23rd. 44 years. From the day that the Beirut thing happened. You ever cross paths with anybody, Mike, that I just played an interview I did a year ago with a guy who was a Lance Corporal gun bunny with Charlie Battery, 1st Battalion, 10th Marines, that sleeping on the guns Sunday morning, October 23rd, when that happened. And it's just an awesome story about he's a Marine from, grew up in Mississippi, wanted to be a Marine. And, they got libo in Amsterdam for 7 days.
Really?
Can you imagine that? And that's back in the day. Michael, remember this, because we used to do it on sea duty. When you got libo and you weren't working, there was a formation at 07. You got your ass to the formation so they could be accountable, and then what did they do? They turned around and sound liberty call again after formation, and that was it. That was the Marine Corps.
Right.
That was back in the day. But, do you have any, you ever crossed paths with very many guys who were in Beirut? Any thoughts on that?
No, I haven't crossed paths with those guys, any of those guys in forever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been. Do you know Ron Baskowski?
Yeah, I do. General Baskowski.
Yeah, he was a first lieutenant there when that morning, and the story they tell is just amazing, but sad in that it was our introduction to Hezbollah, and we didn't even know it was there, to be honest, these organizations and whatnot. I mean. Shit, we have sentries standing there without a magazine and their rifle and stuff like that. I mean, we were a little bit late to the party in terms of that. But, no, it's a sad day. 241, 220 Marines, what, 18 sailors and 3 soldiers that day. So back in the day when we have Mao, it's the 24th Mao with BLT-1A. So anyway, just all right. What tell me about your weekend. Anything exciting?
Yeah, well, I was trying to call you to tell you that we went to Ron's for the brisket and pork shoulder.
Right.
Man, it just melted in your mouth. Oh. So, and then,
okay, so just so everybody knows, so the Yankees, it's like the 7th or 8th inning. The Yankees are losing to Houston, and Mike's calling me. And I'm like, I'm not doing this, man. He's going to like...
I wasn't calling you for those reasons, though.
I didn't know that. How was I to know that? What would you assume if I called you?
Oh, what I assume was the fact that you're my friend, and you wouldn't do that.
Okay. I'll remember that. I'll remember that.
Well, it's different. If it's you calling me, yeah, I know you're a gift crap. If it's me calling you, I'm not that kind of guy.
Okay, so
I don't know why you're laughing.
So now we all understand now we all understand. So I didn't call.
Yeah,
I didn't call, and then right after that, I get another phone call from another number.
Yeah, that was my wife. We were trying to get.
I didn't know, like, who's calling me. I don't know that number. I might owe money. I'm not answering. So. So that's going on. But the brisket, was that good?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Here, can you hear Ralph?
Yeah, I heard him.
Yeah.
And then one of the most favorite things, and it's not a meat product, is Louisa makes her famous coleslaw. And it is out of this world, man.
What, tell me about it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how she makes it.
Yeah, you're a foodie. What's in it?
It has no, like, dressing or mayonnaise in it, so it's not creamy.
Right.
But it's got vinegar in it, and it's got, I mean, it's really natural taste. Oh, it's good, bud. It's good. You could put that on anything.
Interesting, because let me tell you, those two together, especially, you know, at the end when you have it all kind of stirred together, that's good eating right there.
Yep.
All right. So,
yeah.
So you went to the barbecue. What else?
Man, you always ask me that. You know, it's kind of like when the wife comes home and goes, "What'd you do today?" I just tell her nothing because I can't recall what I did. And you're asking me, like, to recall 2 days ago.
So you're going to tell me you don't know what you did 2 days ago?
No, I cannot remember.
All right. You know what? I can.
Oh, we went to the Winter Festival.
What's that?
Or I think it was called the Winter Festival. In the square.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of artsy people that come out and sell their wares. It's really neat.
Well, that sounds like fun.
One, it's kind of crazy because that many, you know, there's that many liberals that live in Texas. But they're good liberals. These are good liberals. They're not crazy whack-a-doodle-noodle liberals like you got in California.
Yeah, they're different liberals.
Yeah. California wants to secede from the nation. Go right ahead, boys. You know, it's kind of like, don't threaten us. Please, God, don't threaten us.
What?
To lose California as part of the... Oh, my. What would we do? Nancy Pelosi? Oh. All of your Hollywood elitists? Oh, Mac. It's killing me. I want to move back to the state.
Please, don't go. Yeah, but you take a hit on your revenue, though. That's the only downside. You think you'd be okay with it? You know what? There is a movement around...
What do you mean we take a hit on revenue? We would just catch your silly-ass state for being attached to our great country.
Oh, really? We'd still have to pay...
We call it taxation, an attachment taxation.
You're on the continent, so you have to pay? Well, you know, look, Spain...
Yeah, and what are you going to do about it? What military do you got? You got no guns in your state? What are you going to do about it?
We got the national.
You're gonna take it. That's what you're gonna do.
We got
you're gonna take it.
We got the California National Guard still like trying trying to get
scary.
Over, trying to get over all the fraud that it just perpetuated with all those bonuses.
Okay. Hey, tell us what battlefield you're gonna deploy the California National Guard, and we'll put the Granbury JROTC out there and deploy a squad of them, and they'll kick the shit out of them.
Wow. Listen,
you know, it's true though. The Granbury Marine Corps Junior ROTC displays more discipline every single day that they're at school than the California National Guard did when we saw them in Iraq.
I didn't see him in him in Iraq.
As I was sent in, as the Marines were sent in to stop the looting, which was done by the California National Guard in their own group during the LA riot.
Stop it. Why are you, like, so anti-California? You were born here.
Well, because I saw this whole thing where the California AG was suing the president or suing the country again for DACA and all these dreamers and, you know. And then
they're Democrats.
Governor signed a bill that allows felons in the prisons to vote.
Well, we're just trying to help them become people again, man. We that's how we are. We want to see them get back on their feet.
Let me be warden for the day. You know what I do?
What?
I put a big insect tarp, like, you know, the bug in your house.
Yeah.
And I'd start my pickup truck and let a hose go inside of it and let it run overnight.
Into the prisons?
Whoa. Yeah, did you just hear me?
Yeah.
Do I need to repeat myself?
You're never getting elected. You can't run on that platform. A lot of other planks in your platform, people.
I'm going to take control. It's an overthrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that people are going to buy that one. That's a little rough. That's a rough, little rough, even on the law and order crowd.
I'll have law and order, believe me.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, that's a little harsh, even for that crowd. The law and order crowd? But, yeah.
Okay, but if you're a criminal, then you should fear what I'm saying. But if you're a law-abiding citizen, then you should be like, wow, this guy's a pretty smart guy. I'll vote for him.
So you would appeal to the law and order crowd?
Yeah, I'd make it, yeah.
Mike
for those that work hard for their money and everything else, why should they be prey for people that, you know, want to be predator? Right? I'd be a predator.
Yeah, I've got a problem with predators. I've got a big problem with predators. Once you, in my opinion, once you show yourself to be a predator of other humans, then you need to go away.
It would cost me just a couple $100. I mean, just to rent the tarp stuff and then the big clamp, put everything together, and then whatever tank of gas would cost, and some dryer hose.
Just got a text message. Gunner has been sniffing his own exhaust. That comes from somebody up in the Bay Area too, by the way.
Oh, probably a conservative up there, I'd probably guess.
Yeah, there's two of them up there. He might be one of them.
Yeah, two in the whole Bay Area.
Exactly, two in the whole crew. No, we have our own way. Plus, they are Democrats, Mike. You have to remember that. They are Democrats.
And then they had the Nancy Pelosi thing on the news, and it was talking about how kind of her own party's kind of, you know, getting on her butt about not fit to run. And Republicans were like, no, keep her. Yeah. We love having Nancy on the Hill. We love it.
Well, you know what's bad, though, is I think there should be an age limit. You got to go away. I mean, maybe, to me, at the age of 70, you can no longer. Dianne Feinstein's running again. She's 84. When you're around somebody that's 84, Mike, what's it like?
Well, I'm with Ralph right now.
How old's Ralph?
87.
He is not.
Yes, he is. Yeah, and see, that's what I mean. Well, Ralph Sharp.
Are you 87, Ralph?
Yes, I am.
Do you think Dianne Feinstein should be able to run for, first of all, on most days, do you remember your name?
I remember her name. I don't think she should have even been elected.
Yeah.
I just think 84. Come on, man. When you roll around with people that are in their 80s, okay, it's not like they were when they're in their 40s or 50s or 60s or even 70s. I mean,
Well, you got to look at her age. It's what she's doing with it.
No, it's not. It's my grandmother in her 80s. I don't know about Ralph, but I think the average person in their 80s, right?
What? No, you got to come to Texas, buddy, because I don't know, again, what you mean. But there's some guys down here that are still doing some whipping it on it, and they're in their 80s.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They can't. When I get elected, they won't be. They'll be doing something else.
You're not getting elected.
I'm not having 85 year. She'll be 90. Strom Thurmond was 100. He didn't even know who he was. In fact, he hadn't known who he was for 20 years.
Well, that's Gainsford.
What's that?
That's Gainsford.
That's
Gainsford.
Oh, yeah, come on, it's a joke. It's a joke. And then when you see Nancy Pelosi in those crowds and they start yelling and she starts looking like she's going to panic and she doesn't know what to say and she freezes up, you're just like, come on, you need to stop doing this. Just, you know, go be with your grandkids. That's what you should be doing. You shouldn't be making, you know, national policy. Come on. And then there was this article last week in the Washington Post about the pharmacist that supplies. Do you know that if you get elected to Congress, I mean, all your prescriptions get delivered to you at work? Yeah, you play it.
What?
Yeah, if you get elected to Congress, all your prescriptions get delivered to you at work. That's a good
one. Well, my prescriptions come to my home.
Yeah, well, they would come to your home. They would come to the office to administer them. Okay? So.
Yeah, but that's what I get.
So the head pharmacist says, you know, at first it's kind of cool, you know, you have all this information, but then it makes you wonder, we send up, you know, medication for Alzheimer's, blah, blah, blah. Should you be allowed to serve if you have Alzheimer's?
No. No.
You think?
Yeah. No.
But I don't know.
Again, you're talking about two different types of people. I mean, again, my Uncle Ted is 94 years old, and he's running around on a horseback in Colorado doing whatever.
Sharp
as a tack.
That's where he should be. He should be on a horse in Colorado doing whatever that makes him happy. He shouldn't be making federal policy.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. He should not. He wouldn't, and he wouldn't.
Right.
That's my point. It's and if people like that, you wouldn't want to get on an airplane and there'd be like a 90-year-old pilot. He's got 50 years of experience. That's great. But I don't want a 90-year-old man working on me either, you know, opening our surgery. He's the best there is. Yeah. But I don't want him to get in there and figure out what it, then all of a sudden go, what am I doing in here again? You know? Same thing with that. I mean, I don't want that in the government. But you look at their track record. That's like you look at Feinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Pelosi, she still thinks that Bush is in office. She said it, I don't know how many times in interviews. Well, President Trump. Well, him too. Well, and then her comeback to like people. I can't even say his name. You don't know your name. You have a staffer that calls you every morning so you know what it is, what's going on.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I don't, come on, just go away. I mean, again, Diane, do you know, okay, let me ask you this. What percentage of the Senate is above the age of 64?
Oh, it's a huge, I think I saw in the news today, he said, there's a huge population that's above 70.
Oh, yeah. What 50% of the senators are above the age of 64. 50. I want to say 10% of the Senate is above the age of 80. Yeah, I mean, that's, it's like, come on now. Just go home and have a good time. You've done your time.
You're already getting the golden parachute. I mean, you're
what do you want from us?
Yeah, your retirement area.
What do you want from us? What more can we do for you?
Yeah.
So, I it's pretty interesting. You know what movie I watched last night that I loved?
Hey, real quick.
What?
So, I'm sitting in Ralph's office, and, you know, Ralph was in the FAA, right? You know, Federal Aviation Administration as an air traffic controller.
No, that's right. He explained to us about Reagan firing everybody.
And there is probably one of every plane that ever existed in this room. Like models. You know, like small, some are on a stand, some like you find in an executive office of, you know, Delta Airlines.
Big time.
Those airlines.
What's the coolest plane he's got in there?
That's what I'm trying to look at. Oh, probably I'm a sucker for P-51s. So I see a P-51 Mustang right over here to my left. But there's a lot of elk. You know the elk bronzes? Those are kind of shadowing. You got to probably move the elks out of here and make this the aviation room. Because you got too many elk in here. It's distracting. We can move the other room, the elk room, this the aviation room.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some really good.
Are you giving remodeling advice right now?
Well, I'm looking at some of the planes, and then all of a sudden you look at planes and you see this non-typical elk rack, you know, sticking out from behind it. But no, there's a lot of planes. He's got like, what's that one that Amelia Earhart flew?
Lockheed,
what's it called though? Lockheed what?
The Amelia Earhart Special.
Yeah, right. No, what's it called though? The Lockheed, Electra.
Electra, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, there's one that looks like that right over there.
Do you remember that big thing the History Channel did a few months ago where they found the picture and they said she was alive, and then like a day later?
Yeah, on the grid.
Yeah, a day or two later after it aired, like the National Archives said, if they would have gone through the archives, they would have found that the United States sent that picture to the Japanese government. The Japanese government, you know, footnoted it. It was taken here. It was taken at this point, and it really doesn't have anything. Like, never mind. But let me tell you what movie I watched last night. Have you ever watched the movie The Postman with Kevin Costner?
We're not talking about Kevin Costner, are we?
We're talking about the movie The Postman.
Every movie he's ever been in. That is the stupidest movie I've ever heard.
No, it's not. I love that movie.
An apocalyptic time where
post-apocalyptic.
The postman trying to get a letter across. What a stupid plot!
It's awesome.
It's as stupid as Waterworld.
No. Waterworld's stupid. No. Dances with Wolves was good. I like that. I like Bull Durham.
No, you like the only thing.
I like
the thing you like in Dances with Wolves is the part where he goes to Tonka.
I like that.
Tatanka.
I like the buffalo. Ooh, cool. I like the buffalo stampede though. I like watching that. That's pretty cool.
So then drive up there and go see it.
I lived up there.
That movie was ridiculous. I didn't like it.
You didn't like Dances with Wolves?
I didn't like anything. I don't like anything Kevin Costner's ever been in.
You don't like Bull Durham? And that's funny.
That's stupid too.
Really? You don't like The Bodyguard when he takes a bullet for Whitney Houston?
No, I would have thrown Whitney Houston in front of the bullet.
You would have dove behind Whitney Houston?
I would have never protected Whitney Houston to begin with.
Well, that's kind of a business decision, but the money was good. And so I can't believe you don't like The Postman. The Postman's awesome. It's a movie about hope. Tom Petty's even in it, man. Tom Petty sends him down the river in that gondola thing.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Whenever they put in a musician in a spot in a movie, that the movie they already realized is Jump the Shark. so they need to, you know, ante it up a little bit. So they always cast some kind of star just to, like, put someone in. But, yeah, that's the stupidest movie in the world, Mac.
It's not the stupidest movie in the world. There's way stupider movies in the world than that movie. So,
well, it's pretty close to a tie then, because that is a pretty dumb movie.
Well, you've seen it though. You watched it because you know every part of the movie.
No,
I
caught a glimpse of it. But then I saw, like, same thing. I saw a portion of Waterworld, and it was like, that was one of his biggest bombs ever.
Yeah, I couldn't watch that.
And, you know, all they had to do was they found a big pool of water and put a survivor raft in there, you know, three-story thing, and they couldn't even get that right.
Yeah, I was going to say that kind of science fiction kind of stuff, but The Postman is, it's a little bit of science fiction. It's post-apocalyptic stuff, and but the scene at the end where they fight, right, where he screams, what, Rule 7, and he pulls his shirt off, he pulls his sleeve off, and he shows the tattoo that he was part of the army, and see, Rule 7 allowed him to challenge for rule of the clan. And this army's like terrorizing all the people in post-apocalyptic Oregon, and the postman has his own little army that he develops by accident, and so then they fight. Pretty awesome.
If you notice, all his movies are very similar as far as the story he wants to get across.
What is it?
This unsung hero that didn't know that he was, you know, and that he thinks he's that guy. That's why he cast himself in his own movie.
That's interesting. But he doesn't, you see him, he doesn't do a whole lot other than his movies. You don't, he's not active politically. I don't think I've never seen him active politically. I've seen him involved in, like,
actor.
He likes Cal State Fullerton baseball. I know that. But would you say he's not a good actor?
He's not a good actor. That's why he's not involved in things.
Well, I know, but John Wayne wasn't a good actor, and people still believe he was in the Marine Corps.
Hey. I cannot believe you just said that on the air.
John Wayne's not a good actor?
You said it again. Are you kidding me?
Partner, I'm not kidding you. Hey, Mike. John Wayne was never in the Marine Corps. As a matter of fact, he never served. He was one of the few guys in Hollywood who never served. You want to know why? Because he had to take care of his family. Guess what he did in the fall of 1945?
Hey.
Guess what he did?
Did you get bit by a Californian?
But I don't like the whole don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining nonsense, okay? Yeah, the family...
Tell you it's raining. I'm telling you, I'm fishing on your back.
Thank you.
But don't sit here and tell me that John Wayne don't. No, we're not going there.
He's not a good actor.
We're done with.
I'm
this.
Sorry.
We're done with this.
I'm sorry. All right. The who else is not a good actor that people think is a good actor?
Apparently, you.
I'm not. I'm not even acting.
You sound like it.
What? Because I said
the person that I know.
Because I said John Wayne, not a good actor.
I just told you not to do that again. You did it again.
All right, we'll talk about something else. Montana Man was up hunting. He's pretty fired up.
He was out probably shining. Well, you know, he shot 7 white-tailed deer, and he threw them in the back of a truck, and. What he did tell you is he was probably shining at night. He had a big vomit light, and he was just headbutting those guys all night long. So, like, come on. So that's the proverbial pissing down your back to tell you it's raining type thing.
Yeah. I noticed that you didn't make any comment when he did that. You held judgment back?
Yeah, well, I was looking for bullet holes, and a lot of them look like blunt force trauma wounds, like he ran him over with his truck.
You know
but
what?
He got into a small herd of them on a small on the road.
Honestly,
a bunch of doe run across and just start clipping them with the truck.
I did notice that. I noticed the same thing that there. I didn't see any bullet holes in any of them. So
yeah, I didn't see any gunshot wounds. What I saw was blunt force trauma caused by the front end of a heavy duty 250 or a 350 2500 truck.
Yeah, he just bought a new 40,000. No, it was more than that. How much did he remember? He paid for his truck. He paid like 90 grand for a truck.
Yeah.
Which is impossible. I can't remember.
Down here and buy $1,000 truck.
Trust me, I know. Speaking of vehicles, do you feel better now about yourself that you got a truck again and everything's good and it all worked out?
Yeah, I was kind of for that. Afterwards, I asked myself. Even I was like, why did I sell my frickin' truck? I've always had a truck. Now I'm not in a truck, and now I feel weird.
Wait, not only not in a truck, in a Volkswagen diesel something. Was it a station wagon?
Yep, because we're not going to knock on that car either. What's wrong with you today?
That car actually was a good deal because it bought the truck.
Hey, is this what I get? This is the respect that I get today? You're talking about Wayne, you're talking about my truck. After I didn't even rub it in about the Yankees and didn't show you, take the photographs that I still have of my messages that you sent to me, like, what's up, boys? When you're talking about how the Yankees had beat somebody that day, or then you're talking about how, but I let all that go. And then you wake up this morning full of piss and vinegar and you're feeling good about yourself and you want to beat up on somebody, so you're doing it to me.
I haven't even beat up on you. What do you? I don't even
know.
Yeah,
you are. I can feel jabs now in my rib cage. You've been jabbing.
No,
me. You haven't shown headshots.
I said
you've been jabbing.
I talked about Kevin Costner and you, who you hate.
You're getting sore, man.
I talked about Dianne Feinstein, who shouldn't run for office at the age of 84, and you agreed with me on that. I talked about John Wayne not being a very good actor, and for whatever reason you had issues with that. Okay, all right. So we'll agree to disagree, but that's to the extent of the aggression that I've.
It just feels like I said my rib cage is a little sore, like it's been punched a couple times.
No. And now that we're talking about a truck, to me it's like. You, I don't know why you bought the Volkswagen, but I think it's actually kind of funny because Mike's a truck guy, okay? He owns trucks. And so now he's driving around in a Volkswagen, but it all works out. He's one of those guys, man. It all worked out because lo and behold, Volkswagen defrauds the government and Mike gets a coupon, takes the coupon, and goes and buys his truck. I mean, come on, how good is that? And he got an upgrade to boot.
Yeah.
So it's a good story. It's a good story. It's a good story.
Sure.
But there's no aggression involved in it.
This sounds like you're jabbing me right now.
No. You're obviously overreacting to it. I've got an email for you. I've got an email.
All right, go.
Mac, how about the Gunners Cowboys whooping on your 49ers? Yeah, how about your Cowboys, man?
Well, I didn't watch the game, but I did say that they did put a shellac in the field. Which is kind of neat, because one of the reporters today from Dallas even said it. I'm like, well, that's what you get when you don't stand in respect for a flag when you come down here to Texas.
They played in California. And then wait a minute. The 49ers unveiled a flag shaped in like shaped like the U.S. or something like that. I don't know. So some other bullshit event to try to distract you away from all those dudes over there kneeling. But it's okay. It's okay. Jerry Jones said,
We
are beginning to pay the price financially for this. So I just hope. I just hope it continues. And yes, it's their right. We got it. It's their right.
Right.
It's their right.
Right.
Here's another email.
Hey, Buck's listening. Tell Buck that as soon as that we're done with this, we're going to lunch at Abby's.
What kind of food does Abby's is Abby's better than the Petroleum Club?
It's got a larger selection. Where Petroleum Club, they just deal in burgers and cheeseburgers.
Yes.
And then crinkle cut fries.
Yeah.
Where Abby's deals, they have Ralph Loves their Philadelphia cheesesteak sandwich. And then they have a little bit more, a little more variety. But they're the same size. I mean, they're small little places with a hole in the wall. But just like a local joint.
Hold on. I've got an email. Mac,
yeah, would
the Gunner please go over, to the best of his recollection, the ingredients of coleslaw? I love coleslaw. I especially enjoy what you're talking about, Mac. At the end of the meal, you got coleslaw, you got a little bit of barbecue left, you smush it all together. That's the best part of the whole thing. If it was so good, can he at least give us a little bit of insight into what was in it? Your food?
I don't think I can say that over the air.
Why?
Well, okay, so let me explain. So Adolf and Louisa have been working on the Black Diamond Ranch. Louisa has been cooking on Black Diamond Ranch for, what, 30 years? Over 30 years. And Adolf has been a ranch hand for just the amount of same time. And Louisa is the sweetest, nicest lady, always has a smile. Reminds me of my grandmother when I was a little girl, a little boy.
Whoa!
Okay, we put our big boy shoes on right now and just kind of, I was talking about the girl. Are you okay? I know. He's like, this is.
I knew it, man.
This is how his mind, Ralph, this is how his mind works.
I always knew it. I knew deep down you wanted to be a girl. I knew it. There was something about you that. Okay. Anyway, keep going. I don't want to disrupt your thought. Keep going.
So what I said was, we did a. So she does this. She does this coleslaw, and it's her thing. And but she's the old style. So the ranch hands come in the morning and lunch. She has breakfast and lunch done for them. And she does, it's like the old stuff, man. I mean, good old, just good food. And so she does the coleslaw, and I'll ask her. When I see her next, I'll ask her. And, I mean, I could eat her food all day long. Like I said, she reminds me of my grandma's, the way my grandma used to cook.
Right.
Just with the old stuff, you know, and never measuring stuff, just throwing stuff together. Oh, is that some of the coleslaw? Oh, I'll tell you what's in it. I'm looking at a bowl right now.
Ooh. All right, here we go.
Oh, it smells so good. Man. Okay, so she's got coarsely ground cabbage.
Okay.
She has red pepper and orange, the kind of orange and red yellow bell pepper.
Okay.
It looks like there's little pieces of celery in there. Mm-hmm. But then I know it's vinegar. There's vinegar. And I'd have to ask her.
All right.
What else is there? But it's like a cider vinegar.
Okay.
No matter what, it's always crisp, and it's not long. It's chopped up.
Oh, because that's a lot of people leave it long, and it makes it kind of complicated to eat.
This is chopped up, so you know the best part. So what I found to do is you make a little sandwich with the barbecue, and then put the coleslaw on top of it. Oh,
and I've eaten this with eggs. You can eat it with scrambled eggs. Oh, man.
Really? Coleslaw with scrambled eggs? Wow.
Well, this kind. Cause it's not the creamy kind. I don't like the creamy kind. I like this kind.
This
is you can eat with anything.
Okay.
Baked potato would be good. Oh, man. Egg? Yeah, baked potato would be really good, Ralph. Chicken? I mean, I'll get Luisa to give me the recipe. And then I'll share it with you. And then, I swear, man, you put this together, you'll be like, dude. Because I'm not a big fan of the creamy coleslaw. You know, the mayonnaise or the coleslaw dressing.
I think, like most of them, it depends how it's made. The creamy coleslaw can taste really good or it can be really bad. Depends
right,
how it's
made.
Right.
This is way over the top. Like, wow. This is good.
Well, if you're going wow, I think people have come to learn that you're they respect your male foodie sense.
Yeah, this is just really fresh to me, fresh tasting. You know, it's like you can really taste the coleslaw in it, which is nice. I mean, the cabbage and all the other vegetables.
Right.
It's good.
Right. Would you ask her? Would she mind if we published the recipe on the website?
No, she wouldn't. No, I know she wouldn't mind.
Okay, all right. So consider. Don't.
She'd be probably like laughing and going, "Come on now, seriously."
Yeah, but, no, yeah. Seriously.
I always tell her every time we eat over there. You know, we're always in the kitchen and going, "Oh my goodness," the food that she puts together. The ranch stout beans. Oh.
Hey, what? So, what time are you going? How soon will you be over at Buck's?
Well, I'm over at Ralph's right now. So Ralph lives just past, or just before Buck's, over the boot shop.
Okay, so
a
couple minutes.
Ralph lives in Gay Cordova, and Buck lives or shops in Akron, so it's just down the road. But we're gonna go past Buck's. Store to go to the restaurant. So.
All right. Is Buck going to ride with you or meet you?
He's probably going to. Well, Ralph's going to drive his own car.
Oh, okay. And so then, he's going to meet you.
Yeah, either he's going to meet me or I'll swing by and pick him up.
You said he's going to drive his own car.
No, Ralph is.
Right.
We go by Buck, I can pick up Buck. That way he doesn't drive the truck.
Got it.
Because I got to come back anyway.
Got it. All right. One more email. Mac, who are you guys picking in the World Series? Sorry, by the way, sorry your Yankees didn't make it. The Yankees weren't good enough. They're too young. I'm okay with that. They did good this year. It just, you know, you just need 24 hours to process it. You know, it's pretty emotional.
And see, that's why.
It's pretty emotional.
That's why I'm still bitter, is because I knew the Red Sox were good enough.
When that was stolen from them. There you go.
Right.
I understand now. Now it makes more sense.
Opportunity robbed of them.
So are you gonna root for the team that beat the Red Sox?
I'm going to root for the Houston Astros.
Wow! They pounded your Red Sox, and you're gonna root for them.
Well, didn't you say once you go, you stay in the AC, you got the American Conference, you got to stay in the American Conference, right?
What did you, and what was your response to that?
I said, that's great. That's what forever changed the way I think of when I root for a team now because of that conference.
There you go. That's exactly what he said. Yeah, sorry. No, I think I'm rooting for the you know what? I don't care who wins. I'm not rooting for anybody. I think it'll be fun because both teams are good young baseball teams, so it ought to be fun to watch. So that's what I think. I don't care who wins. All right, man. Enjoy lunch. Thanks for the visit.
All right, brother.
Later.
I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. Michael Musselman here on a, you imagine the gunner? He gets up and, he gets up in the morning, and he's like a little kid. He's going to go outside, and he's going to go play. And then he hangs out with all of his Texas buddies, with Ron and Buck. Yeah, the Petroleum Club is a gas station that serves hamburgers. How about that? Is that awesome or what? That's the Petroleum Club. That'll do it. On a Monday. Programming note. I'm not going to be here on Friday. Yeah, I'm flying to Indianapolis on Thursday and then driving my oldest sister's stuff back out here to California where she's moving. So, being the good dude that I am, the good brother that I am. Yeah. So, yeah, Friday. But I'll probably tape something. And so it won't be old. It'll be new stuff on Friday. Or else you'll hear the best of. And Monday's a question mark, but I should be back. Normally what I do is drive about 1,000 miles a day. So leave on Friday about midday. So by Saturday, midday, there's 1,000 miles. Well, actually, there'll be probably about 500, another 1,000 miles. So of the 2,100 miles out here, most of it driven by noon on Sunday. Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot of talent. You just got to sit behind the wheel, stare. Yeah, so. My thanks today. You know, to all the, you know, honestly, if you missed it, don't touch that dial. The interview with Gospo is an awesome interview. And it covers, first of all, he's every Marine. He's from the South. Grew up wanting to be a Marine, and he tells his story about how he joined the Marine Corps, which is funny. And then how he gets to Beirut in May of 1983, the deployment of BLT-18 and Charlie Battery, 1st Battalion, 10th Marines, joined 18 as part of the 24th MAU, Marine Expeditionary Marine Amphibious Unit. And got there in May, and they were supposed to leave in November. And so he tells the story, and in particular of what happened that day. And they, which I'll tell you, the other cool, really cool part about the way he tells the story is he talks about the mental health part of it. That, you know, that we didn't do so much. So much of the mental health that we did on active duty was peer-to-peer. Guys who fought in Vietnam talking about how you deal with it. And they weren't afraid to tell you, just stuff it away, man. Don't go there. Not good for you. So that part's interesting. And then really, you know, what Matt says is that when he got on Facebook and he reconnected with buddies is when he began to deal with it better. He'd been married a few times. And then he went to the VA, and he said it's really helped me and made my life better. So kind of a cool story. And now that we've been doing this for almost a year and a half, I mean, it's quintessentially an All-Marine Radio story in terms of post-combat related mental health. Beirut is the largest loss of life in the Marine Corps since Iwo Jima. Single day loss of life since Iwo Jima. Pretty sobering. And you know what's also sobering is Okinawa was after Iwo Jima, and we've never had a greater single day loss of life than Beirut since Iwo Jima. Anyway, thoughts and prayers go out to the families of those who lost their lives on that day. And as we normally do on days like today, we'll conclude the show with a little bit, our own tribute, the way we do it here in the Marine Corps, relative to them. So have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about Team Rubicon. And so they're doing great stuff, started by a former Marine. And then we'll talk Beirut again tomorrow. So, have a great day. This last little outro is dedicated to the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines Actually, there was no airmen. The soldiers, the sailors, the three soldiers, the 18 sailors, and the 220 Marines that were killed on October 23rd, 1983. The rest of the Marines that were there that have had to live with that, and to the families that to this day experience that loss on a daily basis. So this dedicated to them, we will certainly never forget.
Hey!